Worried about your future in tech? Master new skills, accelerate your team's impact, and redefine what's possible with Pluralsight. We're more than just another online learning platform. We're shattering the skills gap and shaping future generations of technologists. Transform your work. Transform your team. Ready to tap in? Visit us at Pluralsight.com to learn more.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Life Sculptors Podcast. I'm your host, Dante Poole, and it's always my pleasure to be here with you. Can I just say thank you for continuing to show up and engage in this conversation with me about helping your life take shape. What a great book we have today. It's called Night Owl, like K-N-I-G-H-T, by Christopher Dennis. And it's just great stuff, y'all. Can't wait to get into it. So let's jump right in. Since the day he hatched, Owl had one wish: to be a knight. And every morning, before he drifted off to sleep, he imagined himself as a real knight. He would be brave, he would be clever, and he would have many friends. It was just a dream, until one day, knights began disappearing from the castle. So Owl applied to night school. And to everyone's surprise, he was accepted. Owl was an excellent student, but he had a tough time with the sword, and even the smallest shield was a problem. And he had a habit of nodding off during the day. Night school was hard, but Owl worked and worked. He graduated with honor, as all knights do. Owl was assigned to the night watch. He was very good at his job. The other knights usually fell asleep during the long night watch, but Owl didn't mind. All alone on the castle wall, he finally felt like a real knight. Until one evening, it was very dark and very, very quiet when the pages are sticking. There it is. Owl heard a strange sound. Whoosh. Sounded like a huge bird flapping its wings. Hoo, Owl called. He heard the sound again. Whoosh, whoosh. Whoosh, whoosh. Hoo, hoo, he called. Whoosh. Hoo, 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 Owl called. Who, me? Or, better yet, who, me? Said a deep voice. Who you? Asked Owl. I'm a hungry dragon, said the dragon. Owl was very afraid. But because he was now a real knight and knights are brave, he puffed out his feathers and said, I'm an owl, and I am a knight of the night watch. You don't look like a knight, said the dragon. You look like a midnight snack. Owl's feathers trembled. But because he was a real knight, and knights are clever, he said, oh, you don't want me. I'm too small, hardly even a mouthful. A mouthful is enough, snarled the dragon. I'm all feathers and fluff, said Owl. A great dragon like you needs something tastier and more filling. How about a pizza instead? Well, it turned out that the dragon loved pizza. They talked about how each of them had hatched from eggs, how much they liked the night, and how flying was hard to explain to someone who had never done it before. They really had a lot in common. The following week, not a single night disappeared, or the week after that, and every night Owl patrolled the walls. It was very dark and very, very quiet, but Owl didn't mind because he was brave, he was clever, and he had many friends. The end. Man. Night Owl. Golly. Okay. This is a cleverly written book with lots of wordplay and optimism, like Night Night Watch, right? When we talk about kids going to bed, we often say it's night night time, but this author uses night night, K-N-I-G-H-T, N-I-G-H-T watch. Oh, so good, so good. The main character is an owl who, of course, is nocturnal, and he dreams during the day and goes on adventures at home at night. His greatest dream is to become a knight. Ah, in the opening scene of the book, there is a picture of the owl in the kitchen with his mom and his dad, and he's adorning a saucepan on his head, as a helmet, a cookie sheet on his chest with a belt around it as his breastplate, a shield, and he has a wooden spoon in his hand as a sword. Man, that picture brought me back to the many moments as a child that I, too, went on imaginary adventures with common everyday materials. A child's mind is full of imagination, and it's the fuel behind the mind's eye. We call it curiosity. Yeah. See, curiosity is so important to the life that we live. And this young owl eventually gets selected to attend night school. And not because he was the ideal candidate, but because there was a deficit in the pool of those who met the qualifications for such a prestigious position. Owl was faced with an opportunity. Sometimes our opportunities come wrapped in someone else's deficit or need. Like, how much courage does it take to apply or seek for an opportunity that many even doubt that you're capable of achieving? Like, even the people close to you, like Owl's parents, they kind of give him the side eye when he says he wants to be an owl. Like, yeah, right. Or, child, please. Oh, man. And so what I love about Owl is that he didn't allow their judgment or the judgment of other people even keep him from the curiosity needed to pursue his goal. He also did not let the limitations of his own self dictate his willingness to pursue what was difficult. Have you ever done something that others thought you were not the best candidate for? When opportunity knocks, it's seeking the fulfillment of something that you have imagined. And you can only imagine if you're curious. So even as a child, Owl had imagined that a knight's biggest problem was a dragon. And how he would capture that dragon to solve the problem. This was what Owl was after, right? In his mind and in the minds of so many others, the dragon was the problem. And as a knight, the owl was in a position to address a problem that others could not figure out. What am I saying to you? That problems prepare environments for unfamiliar and unexpected solutions. Yes, problems prepare places and environments for unexpected and unfamiliar solutions. And what Owl discovered is that when something or someone is misunderstood, they can appear to be or be mistaken for being a problem. What we misunderstand, we often mistreat. Yeah. See, what the owl wanted was a chance. He wanted a chance to be a knight. But what we find out is what he needed was purpose. And what the dragon wanted was a meal, because he just kept eating up all the knights. But what he needed, or what he was really hungry for, was connection. And he was consuming the very thing he needed. Like, how many times is that happening in our lives where we are in need of something, but we mistake in what it is and we consume it? What they both needed was to be understood, to belong, to be in a relationship. And those things can be facilitated through curiosity. Like, often when we think of curiosity, we only think of it as an essential element in inventing something or creating something. However, it is also an essential element in building relationships. Like, meaningful connections with others comes through our curiosity. Curiosity can also lead to the fulfillment of the soul. In his book, Seek, by Scott, and I'm going to try to say it. I spelled it phonetically for myself so that I could try to say it right. I think it's Shiji Oka. And it's spelled Shigeoka. Shigeoka, I think is how you say that. He shares in his book, Seek, that curiosity is our superpower and that it allows us to make deep connections with others. Ah, that is so great. Curiosity is our superpower? He continues that there are three directions of curiosity, and I love this. He says that curiosity, it's inward. One of the directions is inward. Like, it's towards the inside of us. It's toward ourselves. Like, it has to be turned inward first. We have to understand our emotions and our values and the things that we've been through, whether they've been traumas or troubles or whatever. It's our beliefs. We have to turn curiosity inwards. Like, who am I? That's the first place of curiosity. The second direction of curiosity is outward. It's towards other people. It's towards the planet and cultures and systems. It's external, right? Because curiosity reaches in, curiosity reaches out. And here's the third direction. Curiosity reaches beyond. Oh. It reaches toward what is beyond us, towards greater meaning, towards the divine, towards consciousness. Yes. And see, if we don't direct our curiosity inward first, then we have a hard time directing it out towards others or even beyond. And if we don't direct our curiosity outward, then we just become self-focused, self-centered, narcissistic folks. And beyond? Beyond is the direction of the soul. It strengthens our connections with ourselves, but also with others around us. And curiosity is a tool for connection. It helps us to see others. Like, how powerful is it when somebody sees you? Not just see you walking down the street or passing by in the car or saw a picture of you. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when someone sees you, when they validate your existence. See, it's more challenging because it requires us to see beyond just the shallows of casual conversation. Yes, like there has to be some intention and some time and some practice put into this kind of curiosity. An essential element of curiosity is questions. It's wonder. See, we must learn to love questions. And questions are best done in mutuality. It means that we're not interrogating folk. Right? We're not just running down a list of our questions, right? What we're really after is we're seeking to understand. And what this means is that we must be willing to expose our lives to the lives of other people. Like, we got to get a little up close and personal. And sometimes when we're exploring, when we're wondering, when we're questioning, what we discover isn't always positive and happy. But nonetheless, we must wonder. But also, curiosity requires presence. And we got to be present with folks. It's what it means to wander. If I was going to say something, like if we were given a label, presence is wandering into someone's life. It's intentionally going into an unfamiliar territory. See, we've all experienced interactions and relationships with people where it feels like the other person has an agenda beneath their questions, right? Beneath the surface of their questions, it doesn't feel like they're really trying to understand. You know what it feels like? Entrapment is really what it feels like. They're after something. They're trying to get us. They're trying to pull a okey-doke on us, and we can sense it. We don't feel like they're really trying to understand us, but they're after something else. They seem to be listening, but only to prove us wrong or to change us. I mean, I'm not talking about you. I'm just saying that there are people out there who are listening just so that they could change us or prove us wrong or prove their point. They're really not trying to understand us. Mm-hmm. When we use curiosity as a tool of persuasion, we become predatory. Just let that sit. Like our last conversation, we talked about near enemies. Persuasion is a near enemy of curiosity because it appears like presence, but it's really predatory. And sometimes people are asking questions and they're using curiosity as a strategy to gain ammunition to attack other people. If someone is sharing their heart with you and you use that information as ammunition against them when you're upset with them or when they've disappointed you or when they've frustrated you, you're wrong. It's predatory and it's wrong. Also, when we prioritize our own need to be understood over understanding other people, we're being predatory. Because we make our need to be understood more important than understanding the other person. Oh, I know what I'm challenging you to think about is hard. See, presence is the act of being genuine with someone. It's genuine curiosity with the goal of understanding. And listening is one of the most potent tools of building relationships. Listening is a skill. And you know, I say, if it's a skill, then it must be taught, it can be learned, and it must be practiced. Listening is a potent tool for relationship building. And the beautiful thing about this is, as I wander and I wonder into someone's life, if I do it right, then it transforms me more than it does change them. Yeah. Okay. So here's the deal. That in order for me to operate from the place of curiosity, in order to build relationships, then I have to have courage. See, there's a dichotomy of life and relationships. Like, two things can coexist and be opposite each other while both remaining true. I'll give you an example from the book. A dragon is and can be dangerous. But what we also discovered is that a dragon can also be a friend. See, dragons are sometimes hard to be in relationships with because there is always, or there seems to always be this threat that they could set it all on fire. Yes. And so we're cautious about our relationships with dragons, right? Because both can be true. For the owl, becoming a knight was the thing he thought was going to make him happy. And it could. But solving a problem in his community was even better. It wasn't enough to just become a knight. He had to make a difference. And what curiosity does for us, probably ultimately what it does, is it helps us make meaning out of life. And so we have to become both emotionally and cognitively invested in getting to know someone or getting to understand something. Like and if we were honest, we're not satisfied with the gap between what we know and what we don't know. And so choosing to be curious, it means being vulnerable, because we have to surrender to uncertainty. Thank you, Brené Brown, for saying that. That choosing to be curious means being vulnerable because we have to surrender to uncertainty. Like, sometimes what our curiosity uncovers and discovers is uncomfortable and maybe even a little dangerous. And so we tend to lean more towards self-protection rather than risk being hurt again. And we are more confident in the things that we're certain of, but that closes us off to the discovery of something new. Like, for so many, the attitude is, I'll just stick with what I know. What if what you know is not enough? What Owl soon finds out is that being brave isn't an exercise of physical strength, but it is one of mental strength. For courage comes from inside of us, inside of our hearts. It doesn't come from inside our muscles or our talents or our abilities. And curiosity, it requires us to let go of our assumptions and our biases. It requires us to make space for others, especially those who are different. Curiosity also requires of us to honor the dignity of other people. And lastly, curiosity, it's about seeking questions rather than seeking answers. And maybe, just maybe, if we give curiosity its proper place in our lives, we will discover that our dragons are really just misunderstood members of our community. We need each other. And not just the people we find easy to get along with. Okay, I'm just going to leave that there. This is the Life Sculptors podcast. And if you're getting something out of these, would you do me a favor and like, share, and subscribe? And remember, you are enough.